know where we stand, and we know that we can talk to these people, and they've come down here and talk to us.
I then suggest that you go and talk to them at the appropriate place.
We've been talking to them enough, and they should come down here and talk to us.
Gracie,
Sarah,
and Josie
from the Girl Scout Troop 1819, Coxsackie, Athens.
And you're listening to
WGXC
ACRA at 90.7 FM.
Keep on being you.
WGXC always needs computer donations. If you have an old one you don't need and it is either a Macintosh 2011 or newer, 2.0 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, or Windows 2012 or newer, 2.4 gigahertz or faster CPU, dual core or more, email info@wgxc.org for more information. WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Waveform's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Waveform Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Heather Lloyd of Kinderhook, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here.
Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson has announced the city is one of 10 cities statewide chosen to participate in the New York State Anti-Displacement Learning Network program to assist in the effort to prevent displacement of low-income residents. The announcement was made on the city's website and via social media Friday, January 24th. The program is conducted by the Enterprise Community Partners in partnership with the Office of the State Attorney General. Mayor's aide, Michael Chimides, posted on Facebook, "The city, and I quote, will receive peer learning opportunities and one-on-one technical support. After designing a high-impact strategy, we can apply for an additional $1 million to fund and implement it," end quote. Johnson called the award, and I quote, "an important step in addressing our housing crisis," end quote. The grant application was put together in 2019 by newly elected First Ward Alderperson Rebecca Wolf and Chimides. Dan Kent from the Calvin Foundation provided technical support. Other locations chosen to participate in the program include Broome County, the cities of Buffalo, Elmira, Ithaca, Kingston, Newburgh, Rochester, Syracuse, and New York. Read the full press release at cityofhudson.org. The Times Union is reporting the Niskayuna Central School District in Schenectady County has temporarily closed one of its elementary schools in the wake of an unusual number of absences this week attributed to students sickened by the flu.
Birchwood Elementary School was closed Friday, January 24th, to give the janitorial staff the time needed to complete a significant cleaning of the building. In a post on its website, the district said, and I quote, "It is our hope that this day and the weekend will provide time to help stop the spread of illness. We plan to open on our regular schedule on Monday," end quote. Classes will be held as usual on Friday at the district's other schools. The illnesses reported at Birchwood have occurred in the midst of a flu outbreak statewide. As of January 18th, there were 13,483 laboratory-confirmed influenza reports, a 22% increase over the previous week. Read the full story in the Times Union. John Campbell is reporting for the Times Herald Record. Under a proposal put forward by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo this week, the Rip Van Winkle Bridge, along with four other Hudson River bridges, as well as the walkway over the Hudson, could soon have a new owner. Cuomo, January 21st, announced a plan to abolish the State Bridge Authority as part of his $178 billion budget plan. If Cuomo gets his way, the State Thruway Authority would then assume ownership of the Rip Van Winkle, Kingston-Rhinecliffe, Mid-Hudson, Bear Mountain, and Newburgh Beacon bridges, as well as the walkway. The governor's proposal would allow the operation of the state's toll bridges north of New York City to be consolidated and, in theory, could save the state money, particularly as the authorities move ahead with cashless tolling projects. Freeman Klopot, a spokesman for Cuomo's budget division, said the merger makes sense. He said, and I quote, "Both authorities have overlapping roles, and combining them will create the opportunity for efficiencies and an alignment of resources, particularly as they both establish cashless tolling," end quote. Richard Gerentine, the chairman of the Bridge Authority's board, said he only learned Tuesday that Cuomo was going ahead with the merger proposal. He expressed concern over the plan and called for a study of the potential merger's impact before going ahead with anything. Read the full story at recordonline.com. The Daily Freeman is reporting employment totals in December were higher than a year earlier in most local counties, according to the monthly employment report issued January 23rd by the State Department of Labor. The data released showed Greene County saw an increase in non-farm jobs of 1.9% since December 2018, while Columbia County's non-farm job total remained unchanged. The report showed an increase of non-farm jobs of 0.9% in Ulster County and a gain of 0.7% in Dutchess and Putnam counties. In Sullivan County, where employment has grown steadily since the Resorts World Catskills Casino opened in 2018, non-farm employment increased by 5.9% during a one-year period. The department said non-farm jobs were lost in Delaware, Orange, Rockland, and Westchester counties. And you can read the full story. Debbie Mayer is reporting for the Columbia paper that Virginia Martin is still working as the Democrat Elections Commissioner in Columbia County, as the party is still coming up with a new nominee after the Board of Supervisors voted down Martin's reappointment to the position. Republicans have replaced Jason Nansky of Valencia with Kelly Miller-Simmons of Copec, who lost the election for Copec supervisor in November. Democrats are choosing between Mark Young of Stuyvesant, who was a co-worker of Mexican Radio in Hudson before the restaurant closed last year, and Aaron Stamper of Chatham, the vice chairperson of the County Democratic Committee. Stamper tied Martin in a vote for the position among the Democratic Committee earlier this year, and other candidates may emerge. Democrats plan to ask the Board of Supervisors to approve some candidates at their February 12th meeting. Keith Kanaga, the CCDC chairperson, said, and I quote, "I hope the committee will decide on a candidate on January 30th, end quote. After that, he said, and I quote, "We expect that the Board of Supervisors will appoint the person that we recommend," end quote. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper. Chad Arnold reports in the Democrat and Chronicle that if the legislature approves Andrew Cuomo's budget proposal, the governor would be able to close as many state prisons as he wants. Cuomo would have to give 90 days notice, but the proposal reads, and I quote, "could close prisons as he determines to be necessary for the cost-effective and efficient operation of the correctional system," end quote.
Jason Conwell, a Cuomo spokesperson, said, and I quote, "We have consistently said that prisons are not an economic development program, and by right-sizing the system as the prison population drastically declines, we're already saving taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars each year," end quote. State Corrections Officers and Police Benevolent Association opposes the measure. Michael Powers, the union's president, said in a statement, and I quote, "We will fight tirelessly for our members to preserve their livelihood and make sure our prison system is as safe as possible," end quote. Read more about this story in The Democrat and Chronicle. MidHudsonNews.com is reporting that Representative Antonio Delgado did not list his appearance January 23rd at the Ulster County Regional Chamber of Commerce's annual Congressional Update Breakfast meeting on his website. Delgado only lists events that his staff organizes on his website. And while the impeachment trial of the President of the United States was going on in Washington, D.C., Delgado did not want to talk about that. Instead, he spoke about visiting local farms. He said, and I quote, "I made a point to connect with these individuals, organizations, and business owners to understand the needs of communities on the ground," end quote. He would only make a vague reference to the impeachment. He said, and I quote, "I bring the heart of this place with me to D.C. I'm not sure there is a lot of heart, to be honest with you, in D.C. Democratic norms like mutual toleration are eroding. We are treating our partisan rivals like enemies and traitors. I can't engage in that," end quote. Read more about this story at MidHudson News. Ariel Zangler reports for the Daily Freeman that the Kingston Planning Board approved plans for WKNY to convert a former auto business garage into a community media center and performance space. The station, heard on 1490 AM and 107.9 FM in Ulster County, will move across Broadway to the new space sometime this year, then build out the performance space. Kristen Thorne, Radio Kingston's Director of Finance and Administration, told the Planning Board, and I quote, "This is intended to be a community media center, performance space, workshop space," end quote. The radio station's performance space will be for 66 people with bathrooms, a green room, storage, and a video and control room. You can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
The National Weather Service in Albany predicts there is a 20% chance of rain or snow showers before noon on Sunday. Then just rain after that. Might turn partly sunny later in the afternoon with a high of 39. Sunday night should be mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Monday, partly sunny is the forecast with a high of 38 and a low around 27. The clouds moving in Monday night and mostly cloudy skies are the forecast for Tuesday with a high near 34 and a low around 19. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acra, Catskill, Hudson, radio for open ears.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
WGXC welcomes audio responses from listeners. Anyone can call and leave a message with WGXC, and we'll play it on the air. Call 518-291-WGXC and leave up to a 3-minute message for airplay. Hear something you disagree with? Want to speak out on an issue? Plug your band's show? Let your neighbors know something important. Call 518-291-9492 and leave a 3-minute message anytime about any issue. That number again is 518-291-WGXC. 518-291-9492.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All persons are commanded to keep silent on pain of imprisonment while the House of Representatives is exhibiting to the Senate of the United States articles of impeachment against Donald John Trump, President of the United States.
Starting Tuesday, January 21st, WGXC will air the impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate. The trial is expected to run from 1 p.m. on Monday through Saturday, unless senators vote to change the rules. WGXC will air Pacifica Radio's national feed of the trial of Donald Trump as impeachment goes before the U.S. Senate beginning Tuesday, January 21st, live on WGXC 90.7 FM.
If only it was so simple.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Lena, and I go to school at MC Smith, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm AJ. I'm 9. I go to school at Leibri, and I'm from Manhattan / Queens.
Slash
Philadelphia.
No, up here.
Only for 2 days. And / Hudson. Actually / Elizaville, because we live in Elizaville. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So many slashes.
Lots of slashes. Yeah. And we have some special guests in the studio with us today. Can you all introduce them?
You want to go first?
No, you. So there is today Chicken. And Pig.
Do Chicken and Pig like reading books too?
Yes.
What do you think? That's a yes.
Wonderful.
Chicken said yes. He said, I love books, while he was introducing himself.
I'm not fluent in chicken.
I'm fluent in pig.
That's cool.
I'm also fluent in dog.
Whoa. But anyways, we're here every week talking about books.
So let's start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who wants to start talking about a book?
Pig?
No, I think Pig and Chicken are retired for the day.
Aww.
Maybe they'll say goodbye at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Because I think most of our listeners don't know how to speak Pig and Chicken, so they won't get as much out of the conversation.
Because all they're going to hear is oink, 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 quack, quack, oink, oink.
We exactly. could tell them what Pig and Chicken said.
What did they say?
I'm not fluent in pig, but Chicken said that my favorite book, my all-time favorite book, is Smile.
Oh, by Raina Telgemeier.
Yeah.
It's an excellent choice.
And Pig's favorite book was, of course. Pig's favorite book is How to Speak Pig Latin.
Oh, Pig knows Pig.
Yeah,
pig
I was recently reading it, and I can speak in Pig Latin.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Can you say something in Pig Latin to our listeners?
Emily, yay. yay. Arrive. Eind K. Ute. E. May. Emily is very kind to me.
Aww. That's nice.
Yeah.
Was that you or the pig that said that?
Both of us.
Oh, that's nice. Thanks, guys. Anyway, so who has a book they want to talk about?
I guess I'll go first, and it wasn't by choice. I had to read it as homework, but these are just some weird books that my teacher made us read instead of Beat the Story Drum. So Our teacher made us read this book called, like, Under the Sea Buddies or something like that. And they told us that, like, the shark protects, like, something. I forgot what the name was. Something protects the blind shrimp. And something cleans a fish. I forgot what they were called because it was my homework on Wednesday.
And you forgot it.
Yeah, and it's Monday.
But you learned that some underwater animals have,
like, to protect
or have a symbiotic relationship with another animal.
Yeah, so the question was, if you could rename the book, what would you rename it? And why would you name the book that? I named it, I forgot what I named it.
Just make up a name right
was
now.
Was it a better was it a better name or a worse name?
It was a better name.
Okay.
It was like, what was it called? Underwater Buddies or something like that. All I know is that it had the word friends in it. But I said for why, it was because the predator protects the prey and the prey protects the predator, kind of, because they most of them clean them and then the bacteria will come off of them, so will the parasites. And if they do, well, they weren't all predators, but like they just mostly cleaned them for like the water buddies, or they helped them. And if they didn't have that water buddy, then they would die.
No, but also yay, because they got that buddy. Can I tell you about a book that I read that's related to that? Yay. I wasn't going to talk about it, but I just happened to read a book this week that was a picture book called Friends Stick Together by Hannah E. Harrison, who does really cute picture books. I love her illustrations. And this one was about the symbiotic relationship between Rupert, who is a rhino, and Levi, who is a tick bird. And tick birds, guess what they do? For rhinos,
eat ticks?
They eat ticks off them.
Yeah.
The rhinos get ticks, and so they don't want to be all itchy, so the birds eat the ticks. And then the ticks are like, yay, food. But it's a picture book that's not, you know, it's not a science book.
The ticks or the tick birds?
Both are happy.
What?
Well, the ticks aren't happy.
Because they're going to get eaten. But...
Although maybe, I don't know if ticks actually have feelings.
Yeah. And then a second book was about, like, it kind of relates to me, but it was about, like, this boy who thought that cleaning and chores, like, inside of the house is woman's work, which it actually isn't. Boo! And he goes to visit his grandpa. And so his grandpa does, quote-unquote, what this boy thinks woman's work. But his grandpa was saying a really good example. And he was happy he was with his grandpa because he's kind of a cowboy.
Grandpa?
Yeah, and he thinks that's like cool. Being outside of the house and doing what his grandpa is doing is men's work.
What's the name of this book?
I forgot also.
We're going to call it Grandpa is a Cowboy and Cleans the House Too.
Yeah.
That's a good title, right?
Yeah.
Which of the two books did you like the most?
I liked the Grandpa is a Cowboy and also Cleans the House.
I like that, Grandpa.
What was the ending of the story? Because I think I might actually know the name. I just need confirming.
They didn't give us the ending of the story because...
But what was the beginning?
It was like, oh, what's-his-face thinks... Like, it explains how he thinks that cleaning the house is woman's work. And, like, when he goes out with his father, his grandpa, it kind of changes his mind about, like, cleaning
this
for
women.
Oh, what's the book called? I think
it is Justin and the Best Biscuits in the World or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
it
that.
Is Justin and the Best Biscuits in the World.
Because I read that
I
one.
I like my
like,
title better, personally.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe more than that times because... In my old school, that was, like, one of the best books in the bookshelf. P.S. I read the whole entire bookshelf.
Nice. What? Oh, my God.
That's
and
cool.
It was, like, a huge bookshelf. I read them all, and that one was one of the most fun ones.
When you said, like, you read all the books on the bookshelf, it reminded me of last year how Miss Velez who is my favorite teacher who had to move away. Like, my favorite teacher ever. But, like, Miss Hanley is also good, like Miss Velez. But Miss Velez was really nice. And how you read the entire bookshelf, it kind of made me think how I mentioned this to Emily, but I got an award from my teacher, and it was that I was like the book kid who liked bookish things. Yeah.
I could imagine getting that award too.
I love books.
We'd probably get the same award.
They should have that award at my school. So mad.
Well, it was only just the teacher who awarded me. I only got, like, an award 2 times in my grade ever, but it could be more than 2. Because it could be this year, next year, next year, next year, and so on and so forth.
I like the idea of reading all the books on a shelf, but I feel like inevitably I would get to a handful of books that I just really didn't want to read. And I'd be like, should I do it just so that I can say I read the whole shelf? Or should I save myself the pain of reading these books that seem awful?
Yeah, I actually had like half of the bookshelf for those books, but I read them and they turned out to be pretty good except for one.
So they surprised you.
Except for one, which is the worst book ever. No, I'm just joking.
But do you have a book you want to talk about today, AJ?
Maybe.
Maybe. Have you been reading anything this week? Are you still working on your facts book?
I didn't get to go to the library. But there was this one book that I read at Libri. It was called The Last Concert, and it was about a boy who was in a music class, and he flung a rubber band at his teacher's head, and it hit his brain, and then, well, not his brain, but the area where his brain is, like, right in the middle of his forehead, and then that changed the teacher, and then when they were going to have the concert, the teacher actually let the boy be in charge of the concert, and then they pulled it off at the end, but I won't tell you what happened in the middle, because that will give away the end.
Was it a good book?
Yes.
Yeah, you enjoyed it?
Yes.
And that was one you found at your school?
Mm-hmm.
AJ's trying to reach for my books.
I want to read them right now.
Maybe you could read the description.
Ooh.
Do you want to read the description?
Can
for
I
me?
See if there are any pictures?
Can I read that one too, please?
Well, here. I'm going to have AJ and Lena read the descriptions for the books that I that I read this past week. Who wants to go first? Okay, AJ is going to read first. So this is Cub by Cynthia L. Copeland.
Breaking news! Junior high is a jungle! Evelia and Tammy, the predators, rule the 7th grade hallway at Litchfield Junior High. Studious and slightly dorky, Cindy and her friends are the prey. Cindy's defense is to play dead, pretending to be boring so the mean kids lose interest and leave her alone. Then everything changes when Cindy gets an internship as a Cub reporter for the local newspaper. Suddenly, she's chasing down breaking news with the bold young female journalist. Cindy doesn't always get it right, whether she's reporting on town meetings or ghost hunters, falling off her bicycle into her first crush, or figuring out new friendships. But over the course of an exciting year, she learns how to dig for the truth and write a great news story, and she sees how brave journalism can change a neighborhood or a nation.
Mm-hmm. So that's a graphic novel memoir by Cynthia L. Copeland, and it's really good. It's set in the 70s, so that's when she grew up.
Yay!
So that's interesting fashion. And
it's a comic book, yay!
She loves writing, and she loves art, and so she finds that she's really excited about journalism. So her English teacher, her favorite teacher, sets her up with a female newspaper reporter who, like, brings her along and shows her the ropes and teaches her how to be a journalist. And she starts getting into photography, and then there's all these friendship things happening, as it noted at the beginning, where there's like the quote-unquote predators of the school, these three girls that are not very nice, and then her best friend Katie starts hanging out with them.
Uh-oh.
So she kind of has to figure out how to deal with that, and it's a really nice book. I liked it a lot. Yay. I liked the journalism aspect. I thought that was really fun. You get to read some of her articles, and it has, like, the notes that her mentor puts on the article. You know, her little edits.
Right now, I'm just reading the first few pages, and it looks like a very, very good book.
Yeah.
Can I borrow it? Please.
Well, it's a library book, so I'd have to check it out.
What time do you return it? What day do you return it?
We'll figure it out after the show. We'll make sure you get this book.
And then you're just over here. You take out the scanner out of your bag. Okay, boop. Here. Beep. Now you have to return it, like, 3 Mondays later.
Yeah. Yeah. That was fun. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up in the 70s, but I grew up in the 80s.
Oh, that's when my mom grew up in Mexico.
Oh, cool. I was in New Hampshire.
Oh.
But it's interesting reading these graphic novel memoirs like this one and the ones by Raina Telgemeier. Like, our friend Chicken really likes Smile.
Yeah.
By Raina Telgemeier. Because they're set in this time period that where technology was very different. And so things like cell phones don't factor into the day-to-day life. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a fun book. I highly suggest it. And it, like you were talking about with that story about the cowboy grandpa and stuff.
Yeah.
About how this, there was this idea of, like, women's work. There's a little bit of that in this story, too.
No.
But in a good way.
Okay. If it's in a bad way, then I want to not, like, have that in the book.
No, I think it's subtly in there, but it's done in a very good way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
So what's the other book that I read this week?
Okay, the other book is called The Okay Witch by Emma Steinkeller. And it says, magic is harder than it looks. 13-year-old Moth Hush loves all things witchy, but she's about to discover that witches aren't just stuff of movies, books, and spooky stories. When some bullies try to ruin her Halloween, something really strange happens. Founder Bluff,
Massachusetts. I get stuck on words like that sometimes.
Has a century-old history of witch drama and Moth's family is at the center of it all. When Moth's new powers show up, things get totally out of control. She meets a talking cat, falls into an enchanted diary, and unlocks hidden witch world. Secrets surface from generations past as Moth unravels the complicated legacy at the heart of her town, her family, and herself in this spellbinding graphic novel debut. Emma Steinkeller spins a story packed with humor, heart about the weird and wonderful adventures of Witch in Progress. And also, I cannot English today. English well.
But you were able to translate very fluently, Chicken.
Yes.
So that's impressive.
Yeah, but I can't English my reading.
That's okay. But yeah, I liked that one a lot, too. Obviously, it's not a memoir.
Yeah.
Since there's witchcraft and magic and stuff. Although maybe that could be in a memoir. I don't know.
What's a memoir again?
A memoir is somebody's autobiography, their memories of their childhood.
Like Smile and El Defo?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
El Defo is one of my favorite autobiographies.
Oh, yeah? Yay.
She also draws all the characters as buddies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's really good. Maybe you should talk about it on the show sometime.
Speaking of The Okay Witch, while I was waiting for my name to be called while I was at my orthodontist, my braces didn't get tightened, but, like, they're just cleaning my teeth.
It's good to do.
And so there was a show on called The Owl House, and it's about this girl named Luz, I think you're supposed to pronounce it. And she wants to become a witch in training, and she's helped by this witch and a ferocious demon that's said in the ads. Because, like, it literally says that if you see the Owl House, because, like, they've been specifically trying to get me for those ads.
I've never heard of that show.
Probably because it's on Disney Plus.
Okay. And that would be kids. I don't have Disney Plus yet. Well, I may someday. Okay. No promises.
Okay.
Great. So, yeah, so those are two books that I really enjoyed that I read this week. They're very different. Not sure if I have a favorite. Maybe Cub.
Yeah, Cub's
awesome.
I think
I liked Cub more, but I tend to... I really like graphic novel memoirs a lot.
I love Cub.
And I think I liked the art style a bit more. I liked the art on the OK Witch, but the one thing that bothered me is all of the characters have these, like, darker noses, and it distracted me.
Actually, it has that on the cover.
They all have these little dark noses, all the characters.
Wait, can
so
I see?
Every like once in a while, I'd be one. Like, why are their noses look, so dark?
Wait, let me see.
Look at the green nose. The person has a green
nose. Oh, my God. Oh, you're right. Maybe it's just their art style.
Yeah.
Or they just wanted to make it look
I assume
weird
it's just their
something.
Art style, but I guess it's not. It was distracting for me. But I still enjoyed the story.
Yeah.
I like a good witch story, or an okay witch story, because it's called The Okay Witch. Anyways.
The first thing in the book, it says, chapter one, something wicked this way comes. Mm-hmm. Okay, there.
Do you know Something Wicked This Way Comes?
No.
It's a name of a short novel by Ray Bradbury about like an evil circus that comes to town. Plus it just sounds really cool. Something Wicked This Way Comes. See, you can English. If you could say that, you can English.
Say it again.
What? Something Wicked This Way Comes? Mwah-ha-ha-ha-ha. I'm not sure which part you meant.
This is my evil laugh.
I could...
This is how chicken says it. That's terrifying.
Oh my God.
I know. I keep practicing on my... That's my little sister.
So I have a question, since you both seem to be very into comics, since you've both just started reading the books that I brought with me today. Do you have a favorite graphic novel of all times?
Ooh.
El Defo.
We had to choose one. El Defo? Mm-hmm.
I'd have
this is my,
by C.C. Bell.
This is going to be my second one.
I'd have to say... Wait, does it have to be a graphic novel?
Yeah.
Okay,
or it could be manga or comics or whatever. It doesn't have to be.
Ghost.
Ghost by Rena Telgemeier?
Yeah, but...
I still have to read that one.
But my favorite book...
Did you read Guts?
Oh, I have that book. I actually, like, own it.
Did you read it? Maybe Lena should try to finish it so we can all talk about it next show.
Yeah.
I believe in you. You can do it.
But I'm trying to look for... remember my red book that I brought on the show a couple of times? It's the one where it holds the flea, the facility, and the prom dress comic.
Oh, I don't remember ever seeing it. I remember you talking about it, but I've never seen it.
Oh, okay. Even though I've shown it on the show. And
I never saw it. I've never seen your art.
Yeah,
you need to show me sometime.
Yeah, but I mean, like, have you seen, like, the outside of it?
I guess I didn't notice.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't see the inside, so it just probably looked like a regular book to me.
Okay, so, well, I lost it at school.
No.
But probably my violin teacher took it because she goes up to the room whenever
after. Yeah, you should try to find it because I want to see
it. Yeah,
your
I hope
maybe
she
check
did.
The lost and found, too, like in the office.
Yeah.
It's a good spot.
But since my name is on it, on multiple things of it, I am only one because, and my name is so small that you probably can't even read it. But I hope they return it to me.
That'd be nice. If you're listening to this and you find this book, bring it on down to the school office or to WGXC or to the library.
Yeah.
To Emily at the library.
Yeah, to
Don't
Emily.
Give it to anyone else.
Yeah.
Just give it to me.
Okay, so, and if you don't know who Emily is, going to be in the office. Or in the library.
Or at home.
Yeah.
Or running errands or at a meeting. Anyways, they'll find me. We're small staff. Yeah.
Okay, and I'll describe her. She wears a lot of blue. She has brown hair. She has green eyes. And she's beautiful.
I have green eyes?
Yeah.
They're blue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I see green from here since it's really dark.
Cool.
I have emerald eyes.
But anyways, we're out of time for today.
Yeah.
Already?
Already.
Aw.
I know, it goes fast.
It's like...
And scene.
Yeah.
But we hope everyone has a good week with lots of quality reading time. Thank you to our guest, Pig and Chicken, for joining us in the studio today. It's always good to hear from you.
Yeah.
That chicken just sounds wrong.
Yeah, and here is Pig's.
It's creepy.
That was chicken's.
Hope everyone has a good week. Happy reading.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Clima quente, meu amor. E é só você me chamar que eu vou. Modelando B, de lambuzar. Fazer festa, de fazer suar. Se aqui na pista tá demais, imagine sem roupa e sem tua paz. Despertar sentidos, meu lado feroz. Coisas que podemos só fazer a sós. Tá chegando a hora de você me devorar. A noite inteira, frente e verso, sem pressa de acabar. Tá chegando a hora de você me devorar. A noite inteira, frente e verso, sem pressa de acabar. Quente, meu amor, e é só você me chamar que eu vou. Modelando B, de lambuzar, fazer festa, de fazer suar. Se aqui na pista tá demais, imagine sem roupa e sem tua paz. Despertar sentidos, meu lado feroz, coisas que podemos só fazer a sós.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real. That was the Clatters recording. Too real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Come on, baby, let's go.
go downtown.
Take it away, John Cameron Cameron.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Pardon me, madam. Would you tell our audience what would you do if the saucer were to land?
Duck back in the alley.
Thank you. And now the thin gentleman there.
What I'm gonna do is hard to tell.
The gentleman with the guitar. What would you do, sir?
Would you take a walk down the lonely street?
Thank you. I return you now.
This is Brian, your outer space disc jockey, with a request for Earth.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
That was the Pelicans' outer space recording Earth. I've just been handed a bulletin. The flying saucer has just landed. We switch you again downtown.
Here we are again. We have with us Professor Sir Cedric Fentingmold of the British Institute. The professor is approaching a saucer to see if there's possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you knocking, but you can't come in.
That was Laughing Lewis's record, Knocking.
This is John Cameron Cameron on the spot. And now I believe we're about to hear the words of the first spaceman ever to land on Earth.
Oh, wah, bah, bah, loo, bah, bah, bam, boom.
And now here are the bowl scores.
4-3, 6-2, and 8-1.
The impact of seeing the first spaceman has this reporter reeling.
Here I go.
That was the Clatters again with their big one. Oh,
this is John Cameron Cameron again downtown. The spaceman has returned to his ship and is taking off. We return you now to our studios.
The flying saucer has gone. There is no threat of an invasion. However, the flying saucers are still around.
We're talking with Robert Rabin. We're in Vieques, and Robert's one of the people who run Radio Vieques. Robert, can you give us a little bit of a history how you actually came about to start the radio station?
Sure. Radio Vieques is it's a full-power FCC-licensed community radio station, 90.1 FM, WVQR. We're in our sixth year. We'll celebrate the seventh anniversary in September. And the station grew out of the work of the Committee for the Rescue and Development of Vieques, the grassroots, principal grassroots community organization here in the 90s. And at the time of this intense nonviolent civil disobedience movement that went on between April 19th, 1999 and May 1st, 2003, that ended over half a century of U.S. Navy bombing and activity here on Vieques. So the station was basically set up to help with the work of the sort of post-bombing period of Vieques and the issues of decontamination as the cleanup, environmental cleanup, health issues related to military toxics, the issue of use of lands, sustainable development, and also to provide a space for local culture, you know, Viequense, Puerto Rican musicians, artists, as well as a really wonderful program of music that includes Puerto Rican, Latin American, Caribbean, and world music. You know, the idea was to bring Vieques to the rest of the world or bring the rest of the world to Vieques. We are a Pacifica affiliate. Our mission suggests a focus. We do focus on women, children, and older folks, and the segments of the population generally marginalized in commercial radio. And, you know, we have several locally produced programs, music, and talk shows. So, again, it's a project that grew out of the struggle to stop U.S. Navy bombing, and in the post bombing period now provides a multiplicity of services for the community.
Now, one thing I've just been reading about since I've been over here in Vieques has been the lack of a hospital for the local residents, and I just saw that apparently the federal government or somebody just kicked in some money. Is that going to really help to try to get better medical care here in the island?
Well, we hope so, but certainly everybody here is skeptical of anything that comes out of the federal government and even the Puerto Rican government. Over the past a week or so, as a result of the death of a 13-year-old young girl here in Vieques because of the lack, really, of facilities at the health clinic here in Vieques. A lot of indignation. There were protests, large-scale protests. Several thousand building blocks, cement blocks, have been deposited in the public square as a show of the community support and demand for a hospital here. And you know, since Hurricane Maria, what we did have, it was a center for diagnosis and treatment, sort of glorified emergency room, and even that was destroyed during Hurricane Maria. And since then, we're in a sort of impromptu clinic set up in what was the Hurricane Refuge building. So yesterday, I mean, this is after now a week or so of very visible protest here in Vieques about the hospital conditions. News came out from FEMA, also from Congresswoman Nidia Velasquez's office, also from the Puerto Rican Resident Commissioner in Washington's office. You know, everybody talking about $39 million assigned by FEMA for a hospital in Vieques. And this news actually came out in October, so we're not 100% sure if there is something new. We're trying to figure that out today. What's new that came out yesterday, or is it just because the people here are up in arms and protesting that the news came out again?
Now, you mentioned, you know, the Hurricane Maria several times. You know, what was, you know, sort of the impact both here on Vieques, but what were some of the roles that the radio station played in response to that?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, communications was basically eliminated. In fact, Radio Vieques was off the air for a few months after the hurricane. And once we got back, I mean, we became an important part of the community's communications possibilities for people to let, you know, to promote activities, community activities for recuperation, for help, for psychological support, medical support. Where can you get, you know, supplies? Became a place where people could also share their anxieties, their you know, sufferings, and share their thoughts about what was happening. So, you know, Radio Vieques is certainly important. We're hoping now, we just recently in November finished the installation of the first phase of a solar energy project here at the fort, part of what we describe as a resiliency project here to make the fort an important space in the case of any future emergency. So the first 30 solar panels were installed on the roof, 2 Tesla batteries, and that's now in place and functioning to cover the area of Radio Vieques, our historic archives as well, to protect our historic documentation, the administrative office. And with the help of a really wonderful group of people in Albany, the capital region for the capital region for Vieques, we'll begin soon the installation of the second phase of solar energy here, 50 additional solar panels on the roof, 2 more Tesla batteries so that the entire building will be solarized. The project also includes a water filtration system that'll provide 2,000 gallons of potable water a day. We've got some interesting communications equipment also in here already and others coming in. So in Radio Vieques and the fort itself, Radio Vieques is located here at the Fort Count Mirasol, thanks to the support of the Institute of Puerto Rican Culture that runs this historic monument and the museum. So,
and this is actually the last Spanish fort built in the Americas?
It's certainly one of the last, if not the last. It's one of the last put up in the 1840s when Spain only controlled in the Americas Puerto Rico and Cuba. So there were no more building going on, you know, once this one was up.
Now, you mentioned that the radio station partially grew out of the fight to stop the bombing of Vieques. I know that the federal government has done some of the cleanup of the unexploded ordinances, but my suspicion is there's more yet to be done.
Yeah. Over half a century, the Navy dropped, according to James Porter, a marine biologist, scientist at the University of Georgia, the U.S. military, their allies, NATO people who were here invited by the U.S. Navy, the U.S. Navy, the U.S. federal government rented Vieques out to private corporations over the decades to test new weapon systems. James Porter suggests that about £1 trillion of explosives were dropped on Vieques over that period. Everything in the arsenal from the Second World War right up until 2003, including lots of napalm, depleted uranium weapons. So there's a lot to be cleaned up. We know that since 2003, you know, over these 17 years of cleanup and a little more, the Navy and the federal government and these private multi-million-dollar corporations, American corporations, that are making all the money on this process. So I think it's about $400 million or more has been spent already, basically just cleaning up the surface stuff. So now, you know, they're beginning to give attention to the, you know, the thousands and thousands of unexploded bombs and other military stuff on the ocean floor around the eastern end of Vieques.
Now, I understand that right now Radio Vieques isn't on the air. Hopefully be back this spring. But if people are interested in, you know, can you listen to the station, you know, live once it's back on the air, if they want to support some of your work, you know, how best can they connect with you guys?
Sure. Yeah, our social media is still up and active on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Radio Vieques. But we are also streaming 24/7 when we're up. We are right now with in a silent period, thanks to a special permit from the FCC, so that we can attend to several important technical issues, the reinstallation of our antenna and transmitter on the neighboring island of Culebra, and reorganization of our local administrative bodies here in Vieques. So we hope to be, this 6 month silent period ends in May. So we'll either be back in May or in June or July if we need another 6 months to finish up our work. But yeah, people can check us out at radiovieques.net on the internet. People can send us an email if they want more information at info@radiovieques.net. And again, check out our social media at Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Radio Vieques.
And we've been talking with Robert Rabin, and this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Shersha Mizan from Hudson. You are listening to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM. Thank you.
Tom Rogerson collaborated with Brian Eno to unlock his improvisational spirit, and we'll hear some of the results on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from the films Run Lola Run, Black Hawk Down, and Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. Deep Threes. Music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Cap District, what's going on? It's your main man, DJ Ketchup, and I'm here to let you know, coming to Hudson Hall Saturday, February 8th, is Hudson's biggest night of fashion. It's the second annual Forever Young Fashion Show, and it's featuring 7-plus local designers, boutiques, 50-plus models, dance performances, DJs, pop-up shops, and more. This is all presented by Stitch, making fashion matter, all to benefit the Greater Hudson Promise neighborhood, sponsored by Columbia Memorial Health and Kohl's. All produced by Hudson's own Mel Mayus. Tickets are on sale now at stitchedny.com. That is stitchedny.com. We totally catch up.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable, all the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Cornelius Eady of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support. I can swallow a bottle of wall it up, feel like Godzilla, better hit the deck like the Cartilla. My whole squad's in here walking around the party, across between